someone who I'm actually named after, so I feel a soul connection to him. His name is Reclaimus Kalman Epstein, or the Maor Vashemesh. He's a Hasidic Rebbe, lives in Poland, and he writes a beautiful parish, Hasidic parish, on the Torah. And he was a great Rebbe back in the day. And his Sefer would be found in many a Hasidic home, or even non-Hasidic home. What?
We're here.
We're here?
Oh, we got one?
Awesome. So it's one of those forums that a lot of people see, but not necessarily do they have this, the chance to actually learn inside. It gets quoted here and there, but it's rare that you see it inside. And this week I happened to be going through it, and I saw a very nice piece that I wanted to share with you guys. So, you ready? Yeah? All right. We're gonna skip around a little bit, just because, you know, time's short. I don't want to take too much time. But I just want to give you, like, a taste of his style. Seder? So the parsha starts out. Ve'ele mishpatim asher tasim lefneim. And these are the laws which you should place before them. Peirush Rashi, Rav Shlomo, Yitzchaki, kol makom shenemer eile, posel et harishonim, ve'ele mosif al harishonim. So Rashi explains that ve comes to say that this parsha is connected to the parsha that came before it. All right? If it was eile, it's no connection. So clearly there's a connection between mishpatim, the laws of mishpatim, and Yitro, and the Ten Commandments. Okay. Derech Agav, on a pshat level, there's a definitely big connections between them. And on Aleph Beta, they develop a great mahalach showing how the Ten Commandments are kind of like the Kalim and the Mishpatim are the details. And both linguistically and thematically, they're playing off of each other, which is really cool. When you're doing your Shnayim Mikra, to think about how it relates to each other. One cool example, for example, is Eved Ivri. You know, 6 years, and then the seventh year he goes free. What does that remind us of?
Shemitah
and Shabbos. Very good. And even thematically, ideal level, Shabbos is about letting go, reminding yourself that Hashem runs the world, right? So is Eved Ivri. You can't own this slave forever. It's Hashem runs the world, right? So that's one of the many, many, many examples you could find. And if you want to even go deeper on a pshat level, or Rabbi Foreman talks about how there are stories in Sefer Mishpatim. If you look carefully, the language used in the laws parallel stories that are in Sefer Bereishis. They're also playing off of each other. Even cooler. All that is just, you know, when you're learning on your own, keep that in mind. But anyways, getting back to Rashi. So Rashi says there's a connection. So what's the connection? Lama nismacha parshas dimnin uparsha mizbeach lomar lechasha desim sanedrin atum mizbeach hine teretz shorashi zal hu satimua. Rashi basically says, oh, I'm sorry, and I skipped the line. Ma rishonim yisinai af elum yisinai. The main answer that Rashi says is just as Yitro happened, the Ten Commandments were given by God on Har Sinai, so too the laws of Mishpatim were given at Har Sinai. It's a little weird. Why is it weird? Halam furish b'Torah pam achat b'parshat Har Sinai. Peirush Rashi sham ma'inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. It's explicit that what's the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? V'alo kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai, ela ma-shemitah nemru klaloteha prateoteha mi-Sinai, af kulam nemru klaloteha prateoteha mi-Sinai. We learn from Shemitah that all the details of all the laws were given at Har Sinai. Im kein lama tzarech rashi lilmod mi ve'ela mi-yatura devav lehorod zot, v'alo sham laman mi-mikra male shekol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai. Basically, the question is, we already know that all the Torahs come from Sinai, so why does Rashi feel that it's necessary to point out that also Sefer Mishpatim happened at Har Sinai? Hear the kasha? Mm-hmm. Okay, good kasha. Pascha. Any suggestions? Any ideas?
Because we, it seems to say that we didn't actually try. We spent a lot of years at Har Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume if we started getting the Mishpatim after we got Torah, then chronologically it makes sense that we're still
Sure. Okay, fine, you're right. But why do we need to point that out if Rashi... I mean, if we seem to know the general rule that Rashi makes very explicit by Shemitah, that all the mitzvahs are done by Har Sinai. Now, it's not a bomb kasha because that Rashi appears later in Parshat... Whatever, that happens later, so, you know, the more Hashem is assuming that that we know that. Okay, in any case, so we're going to skip to the second page, if it's on the second page. Second paragraph. In general, when it comes to Chassidus, whether you like the Kashi or not, the answer is always worthwhile. It's really all about the answer. When God gave us the Torah, it was with fire. It was Alev HaShemayim, the Torah describes. And that was only during the Ten Commandments when it was fire. Every mitzvah that we do needs to be done with fire. Shadar shol pasuk v'datal v'nacha yom asher matal v'nei Hashem lakecha b'chorev ma'al halan beretet v'zeya af kan beretet v'zeya. The Gemara says just as over there with passion, so to here needs to be done with passion. I'm gonna skip a little bit just because our time is short and go to the next paragraph on the bottom. But the answer that Rashi is giving so far is that you need to do the Torahs with passion, fire. Okay, every time you learn Torah, it needs to be done with fire, or else you can't really suck the sweetness out of the Torah. Imagine it's like soup. If you have cold soup, it's just not so gishmak. You need the fire to taste the sweetness of the soup. So too, when it comes to Torah and mitzvot in general, you really want to crack open the Torah. You need to bring that passion, that fire, that hislavos. And then you can really start to taste the sweetness of Torah, says the Ma'or B'Shem. Ukesha Adam Mamed Sivrei Musar V'Kedomehen. When I'm learning a sweet Musar Sefer, I'm learning Strive for Truth, I'm learning Chassidus Sefer. Ali Dejen Me'orim Et Adam L'Tshuva Nekel Uzot Shilmad Be'ema V'Yira. It's easy to get to a state of passion when you're learning something fun and exciting, right? But I'm learning a random Gemara above Messiah, right? And random Kitzur Shulchan Aruch laws about Dinei Ribbis, whatever. Ubeprak Dinei Mamonos, and especially when it comes to monetary matters, I'm reading the Rashis in this week's Parsha. Ma'od ma'od kasher l'lmod be'em avira. It's really hard to learn it with that passion. And Parsha Mishpatim is really what separates the boys from the men when it comes to Shnai Mikra, and especially if you're doing it with Rashi. It's like, oh, it's all easy, nice. You get up to the Mishpatim, it's like, oh my God, it's endless.
So true.
But if you could still plow through and say for Mishpatim, then hopefully you'll get it to Vayikra, and then hopefully you'll keep plowing through. And maybe I'm even, God forbid, get to some arrogance when I'm going to get some Chiddush. Therefore, before you learn Dinei Mamonos, before you open that Gemara, you need to do tshuva. And regret your sins. You have to do tshuva first. But unfortunately, our generations have gotten so small that we forgot this. That is, who here has heard the idea that before you open a Gemara, before you open a Torah, you have to do tshuva? How often do you hear that idea? So apparently, it's not such a well-known idea, but according to the Ma'or B'Shem, it was a well-known Chassidus idea. I think he also mentions in another context, even before you eat. Every time before you eat, you should do tshuva. But here he's saying...
What does that mean, vidoy?
I don't know if you have to do vidoy. Maybe that's why we daven before we eat. You have to think, to introspect yourself. What did I do wrong between the last time I ate and this time I ate? From the last Ma'ariv and Shachar, and how do I, you know, get back on track? And how do I reconnect myself to Akash Baruch Hu? May not have to be an explicit. Tshuva doesn't mean only I did wrong, but also just reconnecting ourselves to the source of life. Yep. It could be even in our generation, we don't even daven. Davening is all about emotion, and we don't even do that with enthusiasm. Kamosha Matzino Vidoros Rishonim, like the earlier generations, by Sherabi Akiva, Kshayamit Baal, Adam and Icha Bazavizu, Matzavit Acheret. you'd find him in one corner, he'd be in the other end of the base Knesset, because there's so much shaking and going crazy. Mirov krios v'shtachaviyot, tahaynuk beretet v'zeya, and that's fire. And then certainly when they were learning, they would put all their efforts into it. I think I heard about the Chazanish that he would like calculate exactly how much effort he needed to get from like the bed to the sefer. And one time he miscalculated and just fell over. He didn't make it. And he said that he would put much more enthusiasm and passion into his davening, to every word of davening. Because every word of tefillah is like an olam. It's like a world. You've heard in these Gemara stories, there was fire around them. That was the way they learned. And that's even with the boring stuff. Even the Dine Mamanos, that too needs this fire in order to crack open the Torah. So to put it all together, what's really Rashi alluding to when he's saying even just Dine Meshpatim have to be connected to the Dinim of Har Sinai according to the Mormon Shemesh? What's the connection that's happening here? They both need to have that enthusiasm, that fire. And for our lives, I would apply this to every single action we do when it comes to doing chesed, when it comes to learning Torah, when it comes to davening, when it comes to boring sugyas, when it comes to exciting sugyas. We should, Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless us that we should have that fire and of enthusiasm, even in the hard mitzvahs that don't naturally seem so much fun. Hashem should bless us that we should have that fire.
Amen.
And Bezrat Hashem, I want to try one last thing. We'll take one more minute. I learned a new methodology to internalize the mitzvahs and the Torah that we learn, besides singing. I'm a big fan of davening and singing at the end of tefillah. There's something called breathing. And there's they're called the three breath idea, which means breath number one, just center yourself, a deep breath. Breath number two, try to imagine light flowing into yourself. And breath number three, try to commit yourself to whatever idea you just learned in your Torah. Seder, you guys want to do it with me? Okay, awesome. 3, 2, 1. Centering. Breath two, bring in the light of Hashem. Three, have that rut zone commitment inside yourself to internalize these ideas. Shkaya. Shabbos. 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 Shabbos.